Let me start off with a couple of quotes that I read earlier this week. Now, the first one reads this: the voices of young people are essential to building a fairer society, and our leaders need to make room at the table. It's time our leaders listened. So says Sam Ibrahim. He's a research associate at Per Capita. And he goes on to say this: that young people are capable and competent. We should be involved, because he's young, we should be involved in making decisions and encouraged to run for office. And to make his point, in case you missed it, Sam uses words like essential. It's absolutely essential that young people are involved. Fairer, capable, and competent. Now, there is, of course, some truth, isn't there, to what Sam Ibrahim says. And I believe that young people, as Sam proposes, should have a voice. And certainly the Apostle Paul, he also wants young people to be heard. Paul wants young people not only to be heard, Paul wants young people to lead. And we'll see that in just a moment. But church, unlike Sam, Paul's desire that young people should have a seat at the table, it does come with a caveat. Because Paul wants the Lord Jesus Christ to be honoured and the church to be a strong witness, to be a positive witness, if young people are to have a seat at the table, they need to be a model of growing conformity to Christ. We all do, in fact. You see, it's not fairer that Paul wants. It's Christ-likeness. It's Christ-likeness that the Apostle Paul wants to see. Now, why is that? Well, it's because politics, the subject that Sam Ibrahim is speaking about, and the kingdom of heaven, in case you haven't realised, they're not the same thing. Capable and competent, the two aspects that Sam Ibrahim focuses on, that's one thing. It's even a good thing. But humble and mature and God-honouring in Paul's eyes, well, they're everything. And more than anything else, that's what Paul wants to see. More than anything else. And with that in mind, let's pray. Father God, we do pray that you would speak to us clearly tonight, that we, each one of us, might hear what it is that you would have to say to us, and that having heard you, we might take seriously what your word says. You are the living God. You have given us your word that we can hear you speak. So we pray that that would happen tonight, so that when we leave this place, we might know that we have done business with the living God and that the living God has done business with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, tonight, I thought we'd look at just one small passage that speaks specifically and intentionally to those of you who are young. And the reason I say those of you is because whilst the designation young once applied to me, it did. You might not think it when you look at me. It once applied to me. It no longer does. Now, that may just be a matter of perspective. We have some friends in Canberra. Sharon and I have some friends in Canberra, very dear, dear friends. And they're in their 80s and they look at me and they say, "You, Duncan, you're just so young." And they're lovely. And it may be just their perspective. But perspective or not, one thing I do have that many of you sitting here tonight don't have is experience. I've tasted things that I should never have tasted. I've tasted things I should never have tasted. I've walked where I should never have walked, and I can't get that time back. And I've learned through experience that God's word can be trusted. And if I could say something to prevent you from making the mistakes that I've made, lessons that I had to learn through experience, then I would. If, unlike me, you are young and you've yet to make mistakes that I've made and experience what I've experienced, then this passage, the passage that we're going to be considering together tonight, it speaks directly to you. Now, it is true that all of the Bible speaks to you, but in a special way, God directs this word, the word that we're going to be having a look at tonight, and many others, to those of you who are young. It's as if God has called just you, into his presence, whilst the rest of us are told to wait outside. And what God has to say tonight, he says to you. If you are young, the word God speaks through his servant Paul to his servant Timothy, he speaks to you. And when you read this passage, you begin to realise that no matter what century you live in, people are people. Just as young people today need encouraging, young people who lived in the first century, they also needed encouraging. And what Paul writes in this passage, he writes primarily to encourage his young protege, his young apprentice, a man by the name of Timothy. You see, although Timothy has proven himself to be a reliable servant of God, he also happens to be a young man. And as is the case today, when Paul wrote to Timothy, being young and being in or rising to a position of leadership is sometimes, not always, but sometimes a difficult place to be. Young people, it seems, have to prove themselves before older people are willing to listen to what they have to say and to follow where it is that they would lead. And to be fair, it is often not without good reason that such doubts exist concerning the readiness of young people to lead. But in Timothy's case, Paul is convinced that he is ready, and because he is ready, Paul takes the opportunity to encourage him to lead well. And before we look a little more closely at what Paul here has to say, can I say that if you are young and you think that you're being called into Christian leadership, don't be surprised if people around you tell you to wait. Perhaps even your own voice is telling you to wait. Like Jeremiah, we often tell ourselves, don't we? Particularly when we're young, that we can't lead. Or we're not ready to lead. Or we don't know how to lead. And waiting isn't at all a bad thing. Of course it isn't. Seek counsel, to ask questions, to take a deep breath, perhaps a number of them, and think things through. But if you know the Lord and you want to be used of the Lord, and like Timothy, you seek and you listen to good counsel, you can lead. And I'm here to tell you that you are ready. Just because you've never done it before is no reason not to put your hand to the plough. And so the first thing Paul says to Timothy is this: don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Your age, writes Paul, is not in and of itself compelling reason for older people to look down on you. That a person shouldn't hold such and such a position because of their age is not an argument that the Apostle Paul buys into. And the reason Paul doesn't buy into it is because God isn't a respecter of age. The prophet Jeremiah, he was a young man when God called him into ministry. God is able to work in a young person just as powerfully as he is able to work in an older person. Now, it is true that wisdom comes most readily through the passage of time. Experience teaches us things that only experience can teach us. But wisdom comes not only through the passage of time as we experience life's lessons. Wisdom also comes, church, when we spend time in God's Word. God's Word is able to point us in the direction that we should go, and God's Spirit impresses it upon our minds. Wisdom does come as we seek counsel from those who are themselves walking with the Lord. Wisdom comes as we listen to those who are walking with the Lord. Wisdom comes as we watch them. And what do we know about Timothy? Well, here, church, was a young man who listened to Paul. He was a young man who studied God's word, and he was a young man who was filled with God's Spirit. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Now, Paul isn't saying here that people won't look down on you. Paul isn't saying here that when you walk into the presence of a group of older folk that they won't look down on you. Paul doesn't say that. I think that Paul recognises only too well that Timothy can't change the way that some of the older folk in the church at Ephesus are looking at him. It's the first thing that they see, isn't it? The very first thing they see when Timothy walks into a room is that he is a young man. The very first thing that older people will see when you walk into a room, if you are young, is how young you are. And if you are young, some who are older than you will wonder, how responsible are you? They will think back to when they were young and they'll wonder if you see the world the way that they saw the world. They'll think to themselves, I wonder, are you headstrong? That's what they'll be thinking. They'll be thinking to themselves, I wonder, does he or does she listen? Are you reliable? Can you be trusted to complete what you begin? You see, it's entirely likely that young men in the first century, they got up to all kinds of things that made the older generation raise their eyebrows. Aristotle, for instance, writing in the 4th century BC, said this of young people. They think they know everything and are always quite sure about it. 2,500 years ago. 2,500 years ago. It could have been written yesterday. There are young people who think they know everything. And so Paul, in effect, is saying this. You cannot do anything about your age. But what you can do, Timothy, is live in such a way that those who are older than you have no reason at all to say anything other than, here is a young man we can listen to. Here is a young man that we can trust. And young people, that applies equally to young women as it does to young men. The truth is, you cannot put an old head on young shoulders. What you can do is to live in such a way that people such as myself have nothing but praise for the work that God is doing in your life, because it's observable. You cannot unsee when God is working in someone's life. You just can't. And so although Timothy is young, he's someone that the church in Ephesus, writes Paul, should look up to. Set an example for the believers, writes Paul, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Timothy, I know you're young, and I know what it is that some in the church will be thinking. I know. I understand, Timothy. I know that when they look at you, some will even be quick to dismiss you for no other reason than your age. And so these are the things, writes Paul, that will speak louder than your age. What you say and how you live. These are the things that people cannot ignore. And so set an example. Give them something that they can look up to. So that when they hear the name Timothy, the first thing to come to their mind is admiration for the way that you conduct yourself in both word and deed. And if that's not enough, Paul then goes on to refine further still those areas that sit at the very centre of the Christian way of life. Love, faith, and purity. Love, faith, and purity. Now, there will be some young men who are Timothy's age who are not ready to be leaders. The Apostle Paul understands that. He knows that only too well. some young women too, young people whose words and deeds reflect an immaturity. They still think as children. Life is still all about fun and games. It's not that there's no place for fun and games, but being a leader of people is serious business. Prayer is serious business. Integrity is serious. Honoring God is serious business. And so Paul speaks to Timothy of love and of faith and of purity. If Timothy is going to lead the way that Paul knows he can lead and should lead, then these are the virtues that Timothy needs to develop. Now, I think we can all understand why it is that these particular virtues have relevance to those who are called to be leaders in the Christian church. Loving as Jesus loved, whether you are 18 or 78, is always the very first sign of Christian maturity. The very first thing that Timothy must learn if he is going to be a leader is to love as Jesus loved. The very first thing that he needs to grasp is to love as Jesus loved. He is to practice it. He is to set an example, writes Paul. Live as Jesus lived and love as Jesus loved. How then did Jesus love? Well, it cost him, didn't it? Jesus put aside his glory. He abandoned his rights. What did he do? Well, he laid down his life, didn't he? And Paul says to Timothy, that's how I want you to live. I want you, Timothy, as young as you are, I want you to love the way Jesus loved. That means that Timothy has to grow in his patience, he has to become generous, he has to be forgiving, and he has to be sound in his doctrine. Of course he does. And equally important, church, just as love is played out on the horizontal plane, love is just as real on the vertical plane. To seek to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. That's a word not only for older people. It's a word for younger people too. It's a word to Timothy. And if Paul were here today, that's what he'd say to you. Paul wouldn't care about how young you are. He'd tell you to live as Jesus lived, and he would tell you to love as Jesus loved. And then Paul says that Timothy is to set an example in his faith. Now, why does he mention faith exactly? Because faith, church, is one of the first things to waver, isn't it, when things get difficult. People begin to suffer hardship and their faith begins to wane. Not always, but sometimes. And Paul reminds Timothy that if his faith is secure, people will have no reason to look down on him. They have no reason to look down on him. People will look at him and realise that no matter what comes his way, his faith has remained strong. His faith has remained rooted in the gospel. When things are hard, Timothy is full of faith. And people will see that. People will recognise that Timothy's age has nothing at all to do with his ability to lead. Why not? Because he has a strong faith. And equally true, when things are going well, Timothy is full of faith. Nothing, it seems, is able to distract him and to shift his focus. And then Paul says to Timothy, be mindful of your purity. And church, if there's one thing that young people today have to be mindful of, it's this. It's their purity. The word Paul here uses is the Greek word hagnia. The only other time that this particular word is used in the New Testament is found in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 2. And that's helpful, I think, to know that because it provides for us the likely meaning that Paul has in mind as he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And so let me read it to you. 1 Timothy 5 verses 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. And so what is Timothy to do? Well, Timothy is to set an example in purity. In other words, there should not even be a hint, church, not even a hint of impropriety. He is to honour those young ladies in the church at Ephesus in every respect, to be above reproach. Now, all people, whether they're young or whether they're old, they need to be mindful of that, of course, but especially young people, and especially, if I might say it, young men. And why is that? Well, it's because all of their emotions are beginning to have a voice. They're beginning to have a voice in ways that they are not very familiar with. Young men, at some point in their lives, they are beginning to notice, aren't they, young women? All of a sudden, the girl who was just a girl, she now has something about her. Yesterday, you didn't really notice anything. Yesterday, she was just one of the guys, but not today. Today, she's different. Today, everything about her is wonderful. And Paul says, Timothy, make sure you walk in purity. Make sure that everything you think and make sure that everything that you say and make sure that everything you do is honourable and respectful. You see, how you treat her, Timothy, how you treat her really does matter. And it is, I think, one of the great failings of the modern way of life. Young men aren't encouraged to treat young women with care and with respect and with purity. To treat them as young women should be treated, to care for them and to honour them and to give to them a dignity befitting the weaker sex. Not weaker as in inferior, but weaker in as much as they need protecting and to be treated in all purity and gentleness, with absolute respect and courtesy. And I think that one of the reasons so many young men don't show respect and courtesy to young women is because we old men, we just don't teach it. My dad taught it. My dad modelled it. And we just don't expect of young men nowadays what we should expect of them. But not Paul. The Apostle Paul expects that Timothy will live in absolute purity. Not a hint of impropriety. Everyone who knows him will see a young man who is above reproach in all matters concerning the opposite sex. In all matters in general, but especially when it comes to the way they relate to young women. And in verse 13, in case we've forgotten, we are reminded here that Paul is absent. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. There's an expectation here, isn't there, that even in his absence, Timothy is going to take it upon himself to want to learn. It's not simply when Paul is around that Timothy is going to study the Scriptures and teach others. Absent or present, it doesn't matter, not to Paul. This, writes Paul, is exactly what those called to be leaders in the church will habitually do, young or old. It's what leaders will do. Study the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures when you gather with others. Teach anyone and everyone who will listen to the good news. Don't hide it. Put it on display. Make it a priority. Give it your full attention. Preach the gospel. Teach the gospel. This, writes Paul, is what leadership in the church looks like. And as you learn and as you grow, says Paul to Timothy, be eager to pass it on. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. If you're going to be a leader, writes Paul, don't be half-hearted. Don't neglect the gift that God has given you. being young, writes Paul, is no reason to not display the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in your life. There's no reason. 15, 18, 25, 31. The Holy Spirit should be transforming people. And Paul expects that there will be progress. Paul expects that Timothy will be able to look over his shoulder, and as he does, he's able to see a change in his life. There should be growth, and the growth should be observable to all who see him and who know him. And so what is it that Paul wants to see in Timothy? He wants to see progress. That's what Paul wants to see. He doesn't want to see the same person that he saw last year. He wants to see a young man who is maturing and growing up and becoming all that he can be. So what? You're a young man. God is the God of young people as well as older people. And know what I think? I think if Paul were here now, he'd expect exactly the same thing of young people today as he expected of Timothy. Paul doesn't want to wait for young people to grow up before he sees them leading. You see, Paul's expectations are much higher than that. Paul knows what it is that God can do. Paul has himself experienced what it is that God can do. And so being young is not an excuse, certainly not an excuse for Paul to be immature in the faith. Being young is not a time to live as the world lives, to be selfish, to be inward looking instead of outward looking, to put yourself before others, to play games instead of working hard and living for God's pleasure instead of your own. And having said all of that, Paul then finishes by reminding Timothy of the seriousness of the calling that he has received. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Watch your life and your doctrine. How? Closely. Examine how you live, in other words. Think about and ponder, meditate on those things that you've been taught. Know, says Paul, what it is that you believe. Think about it. Ask yourself some of the really hard questions and find answers to those questions as you spend time in the Word of God and as you seek counsel from those who've been walking with the Lord for a long time. Not for a day or for a week or for a year or for 10 years, but persevere. Keep going for as long as it takes. That's what Paul's advice to Timothy is. Never stop. And here's why. Because if you do, writes Paul, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And that, church, is what God has entrusted you with. Nothing less than salvation. When you receive the gospel and you make the gospel your own, you are entrusted with salvation. The gospel doesn't promise that you'll be wealthy. The gospel isn't a get-rich-quick scheme. It won't ensure that you stay healthy or never experience disappointment. Well, if that's the case, what good is it then? And Paul tells us, doesn't he? Persevere in it. Share it with others and encourage them to persevere in it. And if you do, and if they do, it will save both you and them. It is, writes Paul, the difference between life and death. Can we believe that? That's what Paul believes. And he wants Timothy to believe that too. The difference between life and death. It will keep you from God's wrath. It will keep you from falling, and it will direct all who hear you to life everlasting. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Be diligent in all these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that your word speaks to us, no matter how young or how old we are. We thank you that you not only have expectations of us, no matter what age we are, but you give us your word, you give us your Holy Spirit, you give us the counsel of those who have walked with you for many years so that we might succeed in the calling that we have received. So Lord, may we take seriously what it is that you are doing in our lives. May we take seriously the word of God, and may we take it out into the world so that others might hear it and see it and so turn to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.